Good morning. This morning we are actually together as we gather here. We're beginning a new sermon series called From Death to Life. And we are together going to go on a journey exploring some of the themes around death and what it means for us. And you may be asking yourself this morning, why death? Why would we focus so heavily on death for the next coming weeks? Well, the clue to this is actually in the story that we read this morning in Genesis chapter 3. Because the reality is that from dust you are, and to dust you will return. Many of you, if you were worshiping with us on Wednesday, you maybe heard some version of those words as ashes were placed on your forehead. And it's a very stark reminder, and it's a reality that we all have to come to terms with. And that is, at some point, all of us will likely die. Unless, of course, Christ comes back before then. But if you yourself don't personally experience death, you are certainly around people that have lost loved ones, or you yourself has lost someone close to you. And so many of us, in fact, most of us, is no stranger to death at all. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to try to pick at and explain and try to answer some of the questions that come up as we reflect on our own life. We're going to ask and answer, you know, what happens exactly when you die? Or why do tragedies happen? Why does death happen sometimes so unexpectedly? Or what to say at a funeral, even? We'll explore some. But before we get into all these different questions and themes that surround this topic, we have to go back to the start and ask a very important question, which is, why does death exist in the first place? Why do we have to have a conversation about it? Well, again, it goes back to Genesis chapter 3. You see, God spoke into the void and into the darkness, and out of the darkness he began to create. And he created a beautiful world full of life and full of creatures and full of humanity. And he said this was good. Because you see, we have a God who is a God of life. He is about bringing about life through his word. And so God is life. But as you learn in our story, sin comes into the picture. And what sin brings is the opposite of what God brings. And that is death. You see, if we turn our backs on God, if we turn away from the one who gives us life, then the thing that we turn towards is death itself. And this is the problem that we all see in the beginning. As I said, God created everything beautiful and everything was so good. And in the middle of this perfect creation, he had Adam and Eve. And they could enjoy all the goodness, all the life that God had given them without any threat of death or hunger or pain. They had complete free will to enjoy everything, except there was only one simple rule that God had for them. It was, do not eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. And so I don't know how long, I mean, the Bible doesn't really paint a day-by-day picture, but Adam and Eve are doing their thing in the garden, day in and day out, and every day they're passing by this beautiful tree with this wonderful fruit, the one thing that they're not supposed to eat. This is their act of worship, this is their act of obedience, just simply following this one request from God, the Creator. And every day they walked by that tree, maybe they began to think, I wonder. It's like staring at a red button that says, don't push me, right? And so every day they walked by that tree, and then one day a serpent shows up and begins to play with their minds just a little bit, and Eve's in particular. You know, did God really say I mean, did he really say you shouldn't eat from this tree? Is this the problem here? And of course, Eve, I mean, who knows how long she's been in the garden. She may be thinking, well, it's been a long time since we've had that conversation. I don't know. I mean, I think God said that. And then the serpent says to Eve, surely, God created everything good. You're good. You're the pinnacle of his creation. Surely he won't kill you. You're not going to die if you eat from this tree. And she thinks, that sounds about right to me. And so there she is with Adam, actually, looking at this tree. And really, they're posed with a question. Are they going to accept God's definition of what is good and what is evil and not eat from that tree? Or will they take the fruit and go for it? Well, you know how the story goes. Boom. She went for it. And immediately, everything began to fall apart. Suddenly, they had the knowledge of good and evil. But this was a problem because it immediately put a separation between Adam and Eve because they could no longer relate to each other. Maybe they didn't even agree on what was good and what was evil. They felt shame and they felt guilt. And so it began to break down their relationship. But not only that, but it broke down their relationship with God. And they had to hide from him. Because again, they were having to deal with the knowledge and make decisions about what they felt was good and evil. But here's the problem with this. Ultimately the problem with man being able to make the decision for themselves what is good and what is evil is that it doesn't take very long to realize that we're actually terrible at it. We're terrible judges of what is good and what is evil. And when we took this for ourselves, we turned away from God who gives us life, who tells us what is good and what is evil, and we run and embrace sin, which can only ultimately offer us death. And so as the story unfolds in Genesis, and it unfolds very quickly, you see the results of this. Right on the heels of this story, there's a story about two brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain is jealous of his brother Abel because he feels what would be good is if he got more recognition than his brother because he deserves it. And so what does he do to take care of his problem? He kills his brother. Right after this story, there's a story that we really don't talk much about, and we don't know much about this person, but it's a guy by the name of Lamech. And Lamech, all it says about this guy is that he took on wives like they were possessions. He just like took many, many women with him wherever he went. And wherever he went, he sang songs of victory about how violent he is and how he was the most violent man in the world and how he could basically conquer or kill anything. And for Lamech, collecting women like possessions and killing and being violent was a good thing. He's very proud of it. And then as the story goes on, we come to another well-known story. God is looking at his creation, he's looking at the earth, and he sees that everything keeps spiraling out of control. And so he decides that he's going to send rain, he's going to send a flood to wash it all away and start over again. Hit the reset button. And out of all the pain and all the death and all the agony, he found one family, Noah and his family. And from them, he was going to rebuild his people. And so Noah gets on the boat, his family get on the boat, the animals get on the boat. And you know the story, the rains come, the floods rise, and eventually all of creation is wiped out. The waters recede. Adam and his family get off the boat, the animals get off the boat. And you would think at this point, what God set out to do would have been accomplished. Everything washed clean. But the problem is, sin resides, that desire to decide what is good and what is bad is in the heart of man at this point. And Noah is but a man. And so we get this story, again, that we don't talk much about, but immediately after Noah gets off this boat, he plants a vineyard and he gets just drunk, totally drunk. And this isn't the bad part. After being on the boat with animals for that many days, you don't blame him. The bad part is that he got drunk and then did something shady with one of his own sons in a tent that he shouldn't have. And then sin just begins to creep into the picture again. And then from that story, you get the story of the Tower of Babel, where people are rejoicing over this new invention, the brick, and they're going to build this huge tower that stretches into the heavens, that's as big as anything that has ever been done before, because this is what they decide is a good thing to do. But God knows it's a bad thing, and it will lead to many bad things. And so God intervenes and scatters the people and their languages to prevent the worst from happening. All these stories sort of illustrate what happens when we try to do things as God. It leads to tragedy and to death. And as you go through all these stories, you begin to wonder for yourself, I mean, is there any hope for these people? And then also, is there any hope for us? Because honestly, are we that different? I just watch the news. I mean, political parties and people, I mean, the amount of language and verbiage going back and forth, each party trying to decide what is good and what is right. And since the beginning of the fall and all the way to the present time, there's been war after war after war, people trying to decide what is right. And so what's our hope? I mean, what do we do? Well, you go back to Genesis and you see very quickly, God knew from the very beginning that he was going to have to intervene in a way that was totally radical, totally different, and completely self-sacrificing. It says in Genesis 3, it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. God is talking about this scenario where a woman's offspring will come and crush the head of Satan. And of course, people hearing this story in the Old Testament before Christ came, they're reading this and they're wondering, who's going to do this? Who's this going to be? And we ultimately know that the woman's offspring is Jesus, and Jesus comes to crush the head of the serpent, put an end to it all. But he does it in a way that people also don't expect. He does it by dying himself, because it is through death that Christ is able to bring us all to life. And this is the journey that we are on together. Christ died for us so that death could be defeated and in him. So that the things that Satan uses to pull us away and to ultimately bring us to our own end, he could intervene. And he intervened by coming back to life. And this is the journey that we're on together. As we explore all the themes of death, we look to the cross and to the hope that we have in Jesus. That even though there is death, we all in him will experience life. And so may we rest in that hope and in his promise. In Jesus' name,
Amen.